Good evening. It is great to see you. Thank you for being here tonight. I look forward to spending some time reading from the Word of God, thinking about the Word of God with you. I hope you've had a good day. Hope that the afternoon has gone well, but what a blessing it is for us to be together right now. We have talked about a number of emotions over the last several Sunday nights. We've talked about being disgusted. We've talked about being happy. We've talked about being afraid. And tonight we want to talk about being angry. We're going to talk about the emotion of anger. So as we've done each week, let's start this one the same way. As we've said, what is it that disgusts you? What is it that you're afraid of? Things like that. What is it that makes you angry? Probably a lot of different things are coming to mind right now. Too often, too many of us are too angry. And too often, too many of us justify it in a way that is not righteous, in a way that is ungodly, and in a way that God would never approve of. Now, maybe there's a large swath of the room, many people that are watching right now, maybe this doesn't apply to you. I have a feeling that it applies to quite a few of us. I know that it applies to me. And I know that it's clearly revealed in the Word of God, and so we're going to spend some time thinking about this. Because I think you wouldn't be too far, you wouldn't have too many qualms with me if I said we lived in an angry society. Would you agree with that? Just spend 2 seconds on social media, especially just go spend like 1 second on Twitter. That is like anger central. People are just waiting. It's like they're holding their phones or sitting at their computers, just waiting for somebody to say something that they can just jump on and show how angry they are. Ugh, what a miserable existence to just be waiting for the next time to explode. That's not what God wants for us. It's not the way God made us. Yes, God has made us emotional. Yes, God has made us the kind of people that can be stirred up and that He expects to be stirred up. But there's a right way to handle it, a right path for it to take. To just have anger that's boiling over at all times or just being set on edge, just waiting to unleash on someone, that's not okay. It's sad and it's despicable and it's sinful. Now let's remember that the emotion of anger is God-given. We've been designed by God to be passionate. We've been designed by God to get stirred up. But like I said, let me emphasize this, there's a right way to handle this emotion. To get carried away and to allow the emotion of anger just to run unbridled and unchecked is sinful. Let's start with this passage, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 verses 26 and 27. I'm confident that whenever I said we're going to talk about anger, that for many of you, you thought of this passage. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 26, the Bible says, "Be angry." So now note that. God understands. God's our maker. God's the one who made us. He knows what we're like. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. "I know you," God says. "I made you." There's going to be times when you're angry. So He says, "Be angry," but here's the key. "Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger," it says, "and don't give a place. Don't give an opportunity. Don't allow a foothold. Don't let the devil in." Because when you get angry and you don't check it, you don't control it, and you let it fester, you let it stay, the devil loves that. He jumps on that. He capitalizes on that. He uses that to destroy us. So feeling anger is not sinful. But when we get angry, maybe I would say it this way, what makes us angry might well be a problem. And then what we do with the anger might well be a problem. Like the way that we react to the situation when the emotion is stirred up, that might be an issue, what we do with it. The emotion of anger is going to communicate to the people around us that we've decided something is wrong, right? An injustice has taken place. Maybe it's something that's been done against you or against someone that you love. And so you're going to let people know, I feel like, I deem that an injustice has been done, and I'm going to let you know something wrong's been done. Now, here's the problem. Most of the time, anger is just selfishness that's out of control rather than actually an injustice that's righteously being pointed out. Here's what I mean. Too often it's like this. You have to obey my law. You have to obey my will, and you have to do things my way, or else you're going to suffer my wrath. Here's an easier way of saying it. Don't cross me, or you'll face the consequences. That's the way too many of us feel. But what's funny about that, really not funny, maybe a sad way, it's irony, that so often the feeling, the emotion of anger that we just let course through us makes us feel like we're in control. I'm the lawgiver. I'm the enforcer. You're going to do things my way. And so this feeling of anger makes us feel like we're in control. But the truth is, that is an indication of, that is a clear sign of, that we're out of control. The devil longs for us to just give in to our anger and just unleash. I don't want to make light of anything. I don't want to be silly about anything, but I can't help but when I think about that Ephesians 4:26 passage, be angry but don't sin. Be angry but stay in control. Be angry but don't give in and let it run away with you. You know, in Star Wars, you know what takes you from the light side to the dark side? Giving in to your anger. Now, I don't think George Lucas or whoever it was that came up with that little idea had any idea what they were, the truth that they were really conveying. But when you give in to your anger, it takes you to the dark side. The devil is pleased. The devil is thankful. The devil's happy. So as we've said, anger is not always wrong. It's certainly not always sinful. There is such a thing as righteous anger. And one of the ways we're going to point that out, one of the ways we're going to come to understand that is by looking at what Scripture says about the anger of God. Go first of all to Numbers 14. In Numbers 14... there's going to be a description here that whenever we see, and this is going to be a very often repeated description of God's emotion and the way that he feels and displays anger. And so obviously, if there's a situation where it says, this is what God is like, what do you think the clear indication is, the clear teaching for you and me is? Well, that's what I ought to strive to be as well. If this is the way God handles himself, if this is the way that God displays anger, then that's what I'm striving for. Because I want my thoughts to be his thoughts, and I want my ways to be his ways. I'm going to seek to be like him. So look what it says in Numbers 14 at verse 18. The Lord is slow to anger. So what do you think that should mean for us? If he's slow to anger, I should seek to be slow to anger as well. The Lord is slow to anger, and he's abounding in steadfast love. Forgiving iniquity, forgiving transgression, and he'll by no means clear the guilty. Notice that. He forgives, but he's not going to clear the guilty. What that means is this. There's a point that's reached. He's holy, and he's righteous, and he's long-suffering, and he's slow to get angry. He's patient. But there reaches a point where he won't allow his name and his honor and his glory to be tarnished anymore. He won't allow sin to just continue running, ruining more and more and more lives. And he will punish. He will display righteous anger. And he will hand out divine punishment. But for you and for me, there's a point where we need to recognize this is the way the Lord is. He's slow to anger. And he abounds in love. And that's who I need to be as well. Slow to anger, yet abounding in love. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to read several Proverbs here. The book of Proverbs, both Psalms and Proverbs, speak to this idea of the emotion of anger over and over and over. We'll just look at, you know, the tip of the iceberg. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, look at verse 5. Actually, let's go to 78:38. Proverbs 78:38. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep saying Proverbs. Go to Psalms with me. How about that? Would you turn to the book of Psalms already? Why are you over in Proverbs? I'm so sorry. I have glasses on, Brother Steve, but I still can't read. Psalm 30. I knew when I looked at Proverbs 30 that it didn't make any sense. All right. What a good example. Here, look, I didn't even get angry. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Psalms 30, verse 5. I'm about to get angry. Just ignore whatever I say. Just be in Psalms for a little bit. I may say Proverbs a few more times, but go to Psalms. Psalm 30, verse 5. Here's what it says about God. His anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. I want you to see that very first line. His anger, yes, it's there, but it's for a moment. He's slow to get angry, but then he's going to be quick to get over it. Now go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, 38. Psalm 78, 38. The Bible says, he, speaking of God, he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity, and he didn't destroy them. He restrained his anger often, and he did not stir up all his wrath. That means again and again and again, there was time and time and time where what you and I would have done is just destroyed everyone and everything. But it says what God did was that he held back. What God did was he restrained his anger, and he didn't stir up and overflow and unleash his wrath. One more, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Look at verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8. This is just going to emphasize some things we've already seen. It says in Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and he's gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Do you see, that's a concept that is mentioned a number of times throughout Scripture. How do I describe God when it comes to this emotion? Well, he's slow to anger. In addition to being slow to anger, the other side of the coin is that he's abounding in steadfast love. Well, that should be something that you and I are striving for, a goal that we have set, that the description of us is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Now, what often happens when it comes to this type of anger is that righteous anger is aroused. Righteous anger is brought about, listen to me, when God's will is violated. When a law of God is broken, when a command of God is given and ignored or transgressed, that's when righteous anger comes about. But what about for you and me? When does our anger come about? When something that I want, I don't get. When my way is not given. This is what I want. I didn't get it. I'm angry. See the way that works? It looks like the human side of it. I have selfish needs and desires. If I don't get them, I'm going to unleash my wrath on you. Righteous anger is when the will of God is violated. Example, John chapter 2, Jesus the Christ. Remember in John 2, this is when he goes into the temple. Remember what he does there? It's called the cleansing of the temple. The money changers are there. They're buying and selling. And it says in John 2:15, now the word of anger is not going to be used here in John 2:15. You don't see the word anger, but you see a description of anger. He made a whip. I don't know too many people who make a whip to convey how happy they are. He made a whip, went in, kicked over tables, ran people out of the temple. And that doesn't happen to the calm, does it? That's a description of one who has his emotion of anger stirred up. But what has happened here is that the will of God's been violated. They were making a mockery of divine worship. They were turning the house of God into a place that was being used for unrighteous purposes. Righteous anger is aroused when God's will is violated. Another example with Jesus, Mark chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says plainly that Jesus looked around at the crowd that was there about him, looked on that crowd with anger. Jesus looked at these people standing in front of him, and the emotion of anger was welling up inside of him. But why? Because they had slighted him in some way? No, it says he was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. In other words, they were willful and unrepentant sinners. The message, the gospel, the good news was being told to them. Here's the Messiah. Here's the way to come into the kingdom. And they're just trying to keep people from coming in. They're trying to keep people out, keep people away from him, from the Christ, the Messiah. And he looked at their cold, dark, ugly hearts, and he was angry. God's will was being violated. Then there's one other example in Matthew chapter 18. The last few verses of Matthew 18, there's a story told about the unrepentant, unforgiving, unmerciful servant. Remember this super fast. Here's the way it goes. There was a man who had a debt he could never, ever, ever pay back, and the master just forgave it, cleaned it. No way you have to pay me anything back. You're free to go. Well, this individual who had just been freed of a debt he could never pay immediately goes out and finds someone who owes him just a small amount. And when that individual says, I can't pay you, he allows his anger to overflow, and he throws that individual in jail till he can pay back. But it's not that guy's attitude we're worried about right here. It's the master. The master who's in the place of being the illustration of the Lord here. What was his emotional state based upon what this sinner had done? Matthew 18, verse 34, listen to this. In his anger, the master, that's the Lord, it's the image of the Lord. In his anger, his master delivered him. That is, he delivered the man who had been forgiven but refused to forgive others. In his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay of the debt. And so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. Cold hearts that refuse to forgive others cause the Lord to be angry. Cold hearts that refuse to acknowledge how much grace and how much mercy has been shown to them causes the Lord to be angry. You see, that angers the Lord, it says there. In his anger, he threw him into the prison. And it says, and that's the way God deals with those who won't forgive. So there's Scripture shows us again and again and again, there is a way that the Lord looks upon when his will is violated, when his commands are broken. So since we know that that is the case with the Lord, that there is such a thing as righteous indignation, righteous anger, you and I have a goal to shoot for, a pattern to follow. But I want to take just a few minutes now and look through Scripture and see what it says about us specifically in our anger. James chapter 1 at verse 19 is certainly a very helpful, very enlightening passage. James 1, 19 and 20 are classic passages on our anger. This is what it says, James 1, 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, anxious to listen, ready and willing to listen to those that have things to share. Be quick to hear. But to be quick to hear means you also have to be slow to speak. You have to be willing and ready for others to talk while you remain silent. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, but also slow to anger. Because verse 20 says this, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now that's a humbling passage to me. I know personally speaking, I'm often too quick to search for justification. I don't like losing an argument. I'm going to search for a way to win. I'm too quick to allow my emotions and feelings to boil over, so that means that I speak and I win. That leads to embarrassment, that leads to remorse. But here's what happens with so many of us. So often our first response is in anger and we justify it. But this passage just said, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The next time that your first response is anger and you are searching for a way to justify it, remind yourself that the anger of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Instead of trying to win something, instead of trying to have the last word, the final word, and be triumphant, it may well be the case that you're doing more harm than good. And it may well be the case that you're tarnishing the name and the image of the church, that you're tarnishing the name of Christ, because you're certainly not doing something that is righteous in the eyes of God. And that is humbling. Now, I'm not misspeaking when I say this. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 14 is where I want to start. Proverbs 14, we're going to read several verses here. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Now just, I'm going to read these without much commentary because I want you to let it sink in. I want you to let it sink into your ears and down into your heart the way that the Lord views this emotion that He's given us. The way that He demands of us that we control it. Because listen to what He says. Listen to how often He says that the one who gives in to his anger and unleashes on others and tears others down, He calls us fools. Proverbs 14, verse 17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. The quick-tempered man is a fool. A man of evil devices, don't have a lot of friends, says a man of evil devices is hated. Verse 29, the same chapter. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. So the one who gives in is a fool, but the one who is slow to anger is wise. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but who has a hasty temper exalts folly. 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So here we're seeing a way in which you and I play a role in the way another feels their emotion of anger. Am I seeking to be one who is slow to speak? Am I seeking to be one who is offering words seasoned with salt? Or am I going to seek to just stir up something because, hey, that's their problem? Well, again, the Lord says that's foolish. Chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. What do you think the Lord wants us to be? Someone who's causing strife and contention and division, or one who's a peacemaker? Well, to say that out loud is to answer it as well. You know the answer. 19, go to chapter 19, verse 11. 19:11, the Bible says, good sense makes one slow to anger. If you're wise, you're slow to anger. And it's His glory to overlook an offense. Is it your glory? Do you find great joy in overlooking an offense? Or do more of us find great joy in bringing up that time we were offended? And really making sure everyone knows it. Really shining a spotlight on the fact that we've been offended and hurt. He says the wise one, the righteous one, overlooks that. Last one, 29, chapter 29, verse 11. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit. Unbridled, unchecked anger. The fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. The wise keeps it in check. Now that's, again, just the tip of the iceberg that what Proverbs says about these things, but here's a few more examples. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Over and over again, the Lord says the one who's quick to be angry is just a fool. Not strong, not the winner of many arguments, a fool. Psalm 37, verse 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. And then there's this. In the New Testament, Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 31. We looked at Ephesians 4, 26 a moment ago, but here in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, it says this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, let all of that be put away with you or from you. Even malice. Let all those things, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, let all those things be put away from you. Distance yourself from those things. And instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven you. And then there's this. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 at verse 21, You've heard that it was said to those of old that you shall not murder. Whoever murders is liable to judgment. But listen to what Jesus says. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother is liable to judgment. The Lord is serious about this. The Lord is serious about us taking it seriously. But this is not just something that we chalk up to, oh, that's just the way that I am. That's just the way that I was made, the way that I was raised. No, that's not okay. The Lord says that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Work of the flesh is unchecked anger. So what's the answer? What's the key to trying to check this, trying to correct this, trying to corral this? What's the key to overcoming our anger issues? How can we live as the emotional beings that our God made us to be, but do so in a righteous way? Well, I think obviously there's a great many things that we could say, but for the sake of time and for the sake of this lesson tonight, let me just offer one key element. What you and I must do is cultivate humility. We must seek to be humble servants of the Lord. The sad thing is that angry people almost never know that they're angry people. It's always somebody else's fault, somebody else's problem. And so the anger always feels justified since we're never at fault. That's part of the reason why cultivating humility is such a key. Humility allows us to see what it is that we're doing. It allows us to see what it is that we've been saying. It allows us to see how we've been causing other people to feel. Humility. This allows for healthy emotion to have its rightful place. Humility will protect us from our own wrath. Humility will undercut the unhealthy anger that so often controls us. Humility will speak honestly about what it knows. Here's what I do know. Here's what I don't know. Humility will say things like this. You know, it seems to me, or my concern is, instead of saying things like, you always, or I can't believe that you would, humility will approach things differently. Humility will ask real questions and really listen to the answers. Because see, what happens with anger is that anger will take center stage. It'll take the microphone. It'll just rant and rant and rant. Humility listens. Asks questions that it really wants the answers to and then really listens to those things. Humility will assume that others have good reasons for doing what they've done. Anger is just going to lash out with no regard for what the other party might be going through, what the other party is experiencing. Humility takes a step back and says, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to allow my emotions to be checked because I trust. That's what it says about in 1 Corinthians 13 about love, is that love bears. Love believes the best. Love is humble and doesn't lash out. Look at James chapter 4. Let's end with this passage. Here's the last thing we'll read tonight, James 4. Because again, here in this passage in James 4, not going to mention maybe some of the words specifically that we might be looking for, but the concept here is just exactly as it zeroes in on the idea of humility and how having humility in a God-designed kind of way will allow us to use our emotions in the way that God demands. So listen to this. James 4, verse 1. James 4, 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights? You might read it this way. What causes you to lash out in anger so often and stir the other person up? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you don't have, so you murder. You covet and can't obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it's no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He'll exalt you. You see, the key to avoiding those fights and those quarrels and those wars is to humble ourselves before the Lord. The only way to understand and deal with our anger in a way that glorifies God is to examine our hearts and respond with humility. As you process your own emotions, particularly your anger, ask yourself, do I feel this way because God has been slighted, or do I feel this way because I think I've been slighted? Am I approaching this with humility, or am I approaching this selfishly? And I think that'll go a long way in helping us process and deal with the emotion of anger that the Lord expects us to. Now, we haven't said much about the gospel of Jesus Christ here in these last few minutes, but the only way to be released from all of the problems, including our anger, is to submit to Jesus the Christ. To obey the one who calls us into a place of forgiveness and freedom, a place of hope. To repent of sin and be immersed into His blood, Acts 2:38. Be forgiven and given the gift of the Holy Ghost. If it's to the Lord you need to come, it's to the Lord that we call you. While together we stand and sing.